Altamans, unleashing potential from roots to tip. Proud sponsors of the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast. Mother, Daughter, Breast of Friends podcast. Hello and welcome. Welcome back. And with me again for this episode. It's like a carry-on from the last episode that we were just chatting about, because we kind of went so in-depth, didn't we, Julian? But we had to. I think we really had to, about genes, what these genes mean, where we're going in the future, etc., that we kind of had to stop, take a breath and say, right, let's come back and do some more. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me on again. Yes, I got a bit overexcited.
No, I got overexcited, but I think, but it's right. Do you know what? It's delicious, really, because, you know, this is your life's work, and, you know, you're seeing these huge movements that are being made. Yeah, and now the public domain are talking about them, and now it's time for your work to be lived, you know, and to be showcased. So it's no wonder that, you know, you're excited and you're passionate about it, because what you're doing is ultimately trying to save lives.
Fantastic. Yes, we're so keen to keep families together for longer, but balancing that without over-medicalizing people to the point of paralysis, of anxiety. And it's keeping that fun side to the explanations. And we realize we're dealing with a lot of very serious issues, but we're really keen that people understand for themselves how to access these types of tests and what the implications can be at a level that they are comfortable with, but without totally paralyzing people.
And this is what we always sort of want to come across with this. We don't want you to be listening to this podcast and thinking, I'm in for a time of doom and gloom and I'm going to be listening to all of these, you know, sort of sad stories and damning statistics and all of that. What we're here for, really, is to make sense of everything, to hopefully empower, to hopefully make you smile, to make you realise that the likes of Julian and Gareth and all of these amazing people that are doing fantastic things are not untouchable. Yeah, you're not stuck in a lab somewhere in a white coat and not going to, you know, sort of talk my language. You're not intimidating either, because people are intimidated, you know. And what I've been learning, and you actually, when we were chatting the other night, said one of the problems that we do have, and actually, you know, there's been a few people on our Facebook posts recently, Sue being one of them. There's a lady as well called Lorraine who said her biggest issue is finding what to do next and getting past the GP's level. So taking in all of the knowledge that we've just spoken about in the episode beforehand, can we now talk about, right, I tick this criteria for having a family history, right? I have two, you know, close relatives that have had breast cancer under the age of 50, you know, etc. All of these things that you can find on our website, by the way. What do they do next? What's their next step?
Yes, so when we've spoken to our patients, this next step is the crucial barrier and the most challenging one for anybody on their journey. So you've got two types of patients. You've got the patient with cancer and you've got the patient whose relative's just been diagnosed. So the one with cancer is a bit easier. So we'll just sort of deal with that straight away. So if you've been diagnosed with breast cancer under 40, if you've got bilateral, so both sides under 50, if you've got hormonal negative breast cancer under 60, if you've got breast and ovarian cancer any age, then you can think in your own right that you should be eligible for a genetic test. So under 40, under 50 bilateral, under 60 hormonal negative, and breast and ovarian in the same individual. Now, if you've got a family history of breast cancer and you've been affected as well, then you can either speak to your GP or you could speak to your treating surgeon or your oncologist and ask, would I be eligible for a genetic test? Now, that's particularly important if you've just been diagnosed and if you've got what we call HER2 negative breast cancer, because if you've got an early, what was called potentially aggressive breast cancer, which is HER2 negative, so negative for the Herceptin, then you may well be eligible for a genetic test. And you need to get that fairly early, because there's a targeted drug that you might be eligible for after your chemotherapy. So if you've got an early aggressive HER2 negative breast cancer, think about asking your doctor about a genetic test, and don't hang about, because the drug has to be given within 12 weeks. That's brand new. So that's only been available in the last few months. So wow. A lot of the work and the helpline, we wouldn't have been covering this because of a new treatment. But by and large, if you've got breast cancer, it's that 40, 50, 60 breast and ovarian rule. But then this HER2 early aggressive, speak to your oncologist or your surgeon. And if what we're looking at, if you've got a family history, if you've got like four members of your family with breast cancer, if you've sort of got three at a young age or two under the age of 45, maybe you're under 45 and your sister or your mother or your dad's sister or your dad's mother have breast cancer under 45. Again, think about that. So if you've basically certain types of breast cancer are eligible, but certainly if you've got a strong family history, you'd be eligible. Speak to your hospital doctor. If you're not sure, speak to your GP. If you're still struggling, speak to me. Drop me a line and I will look into it and tell you whether or not you're eligible. And also we will make sure that we put you in touch with the right people in your hospital.
Yeah, you see that. How lovely does that feel for Julian to say that? Because thank you, Julian. Because again, yeah, I'm watching these posts from people, and I'm seeing some of these messages come in, and they just feel like they're floundering. Do you know what I mean? They feel like they're not being listened to. So to have this reiterated right now, look, if you're struggling, we've given these sort of options of what to do. Always, you can always ring the Hereditary Breast Cancer Helpline. You can always get in touch with us via the podcast, the Instagram page, whatever, and we can put that email together with Julian. Just know that you're not on your own, and don't be told that you're being silly or whatever. We want to get this sorted. Just a little thing, when going back, you just said about the new drug and the thing that's just come out in the last couple of months. If somebody has had breast cancer within the last year and didn't know about this, can they now go and ask?
It's got to be within 3 months of finishing chemo. Right. So it is, I'm afraid, pretty tight, because it's based on a particular study guidelines. So unfortunately, we are seeing some people being left out and disappointed. But moving forward, this is a new indication, and lots of people who wouldn't have been eligible before are now potentially eligible for that test and for this drug, which is targeted to the gene.
Early detection improves chances that breast cancer can be located, diagnosed and treated successfully. Be Breast Aware with Aware Self-Examination Kit. Proud sponsors of the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.
So now we're at this stage. So we talked in the last episode about BRCA1, BRCA2. We then also talked about PALB2. We talked about moderate risk genes as well. Obviously, we sort of talked about these next steps of, right, okay, compile your family history. It's quite important, isn't it, to be able to sort of work with the family and figure out the family tree. Sometimes, I know this sounds a little bit weird, but it can be sometimes quite exciting discovering new relatives and literally unearthing, your family's history. When you've got that, you go to your GP or you ring the helpline. What I'm really interested in now is that there was a lot of families for a long, long time were told that they didn't have BRCA1, they didn't have BRCA2, but they quite clearly have a family history. Again, I can use this because Colleen's very open about us talking about it. Colleen's family, for example, three sisters with breast cancer on her dad's side as well, but negative for BRCA1 and BRCA2. We talk in that episode about panel testing. I would personally like to know, what is panel testing? And if people find themselves in a similar situation, which there will be quite a few, you know, we've had a lot of people on the helpline that have tested negative for BRCA1 and BRCA2. We have, thankfully, with some of them, managed to get them for preventative surgery because that's what they wanted anyway. And we've known three cases, and this is three cases locally to us, where they've gone for the preventative and the breast cancer's there. Thankfully, because they've gone for the preventative, they've caught it early. What I'm saying is, Julian, in roundabout ways, as my brain always works, what is panel testing? Yeah, and these people that have had this experience before of being told they don't have BRCA1 or BRCA2, what do they do?
So if you had breast cancer gene testing about 5 years ago or more, because you had a strong family history, potentially you might have had it because you had breast cancer yourself, and that's the most common. Occasionally, it would be for people where there's no one alive to test, and so they just had BRCA1 and BRCA2. But now, anybody going for these gene testing will have these other genes included. So that's the PALB2, which is the most important one, because that's associated with a high risk of breast and ovarian cancer. So that's very similar to the BRCA2 gene. And so the sort of women that you're talking about going back for preventive surgery, they will often have PALB2 gene change. So if you didn't have that done previously, what will happen is when you're referred back to genetics, they will decide whether or not there's a chance of finding one of these newer gene changes on this gene panel. And the magic number is 6%. So if there is a 6% chance, based on computer modeling, that they think they can find a gene change in your family, then they will offer you that test, which basically means they predict one in 16 tests to be abnormal. So knowing that you've got to then becomes very helpful for thinking about further surgery. But also knowing that you don't have PALB2 is incredibly helpful because it lowers the risk that there was a very high risk gene that was causing that family history. So even finding nothing is helpful for you, but particularly helpful for your children and sibling. Now, in the previous podcast, I talked about the fact that if you've got one of these high-risk genes, your risk of breast cancer might be as high as 50% by age 50. But without these high-risk genes, your risk may only be 2 or maybe 5% under the age of 50. So in terms of young breast cancer taking away decades of life, having that relook at those genes like PALB2 is so important. So for those families where there were lots of people with breast cancer, had testing before, you need to go back and say, genetic testing has changed. Further testing is available. I want them to work out if there's a 6% chance of finding one of these new gene changes. That can only really be done by computer modeling. And it's a question of how do you get that reaction from that doctor that you need, which is, okay, we'll look at it again. Sometimes it's just saying, I've been on this podcast, they said there's new genes. Other people, you need to lay it on the line a little bit more and say, there's computer modeling. Are you doing the computer modeling? And it's how do you get that best reaction from that doctor? And it's very individualistic. By and large, hopefully, if you can say, there are these new genes, I think I might have this gene or that gene because I've got a strong family history, can you please ask genetics to look again? Hopefully, that will be enough. If it's not, that's when the helpline again can help.
I was going to say, I was chatting with somebody about this and said, right, okay, well, if these genes have now been found, which we know that they have, we know that there is, you know, a heck of a lot of families that are eligible for panel testing, whose responsibility is it to tell these people again about this?
So if you believe that your healthcare is being on an aeroplane, You have to decide, are you the pilot, steward, or passenger? And what I'm saying is that you have to be the pilot. And that's what the helpline is all about. The helpline is going to be the steward who will help support you. But we need to get to a point where we're not being passive in the way we access healthcare. The NHS is like a squeaky gate. It only gets oiled if you squeak. And then the NHS is so stretched that unless you get on the front foot and say, have I had these genes looked at? Have you thought about these new genes? Unless you squeak, no one is coming to oil you, Becky.
That is a very, very good analogy, but I think I've got a loud squeak. So, you know, let's make some blooming noise, eh? Because this is what's getting me is there no way that we can, I don't know, run something out that goes directly to these families to say, do you know about this? Because it's weird when you live in this bubble and you are surrounded by the knowledge that we are and that we're privy to, you kind of think, well, you know, surely people know about this. But I went to meet a family, a very famous family, who still had no idea. So I'm thinking to myself, well, if they don't know and they've discussed their family history so much, there's going to be so many people that don't. How can we get that out there to make sure that they do know they're eligible?
And this is where the power of celebrities or powers on soap operas, things like this podcast, these are the sorts of vehicles which are so important, because unfortunately the way in which most department work is somebody's referred in, they're seen, they're dealt with, but then no one goes back to it. Now, the only time that's different is when you get a subtle change in the gene and there's a bit of lack of clarity as to whether or not it's significant. Sometimes when that gene change is then understood better, we will go back and look at all the people who have got that variant. So that is quite good in terms of looking at specific gene changes. But if you found nothing today, people will not necessarily go back and ever look at that again when a new gene comes along. So it's really important that if you've had testing in the past and you still think that you've got a strong family history and there must be something going on, if that was done more than 5 years ago, my advice would be every few years to squeak that gate.
And help us oil it for you. I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that. And I genuinely think that we've got to make waves. You know what I mean? And I think we're going to make waves. I think there's going to be people listening to this that are going, blummin' heck. Yeah, I'm going to start squeaking. Again, you know, if you do feel like that, don't ever think that you can't get in touch. Please always know that you can message the National Hereditary Breast Cancer Helpline. Julian's already offered to put his email address out there. You're a good one, you are. You really are. He's the best. But get in touch with us, you know, any way that you want to. We've also joined forces and we're going to be chatting with them a little bit later. With the BRCA chat as well. We've got two lovely ladies, Lisa and Christine, who are going to be having a chat with us and what they do to support others as well. Interesting, this really interesting. If you do think that you tick any of that criteria, right, just be strong. And as Julian says, squeak.
Empowering your legal journey with Grayson Solicitors. Expertise you can trust. Proud sponsors of the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.